Fishing Internet Radio, your source for learning more about fly fishing in cold water, warm water, and salt water. Hello, I'm Roger Maves, your host for tonight's show. On this broadcast, we'll be featuring Mikey Weir, and he'll be answering your most important questions on fly fishing the Truckee River. The show will be 90 minutes in length, and we're broadcasting live over the Internet. If you'd like to ask Mikey a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. And while you're there, make sure you sign up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Just fill in your name and email address on the form on our homepage, and we'll keep you informed. This broadcast is being recorded and will be available for playback on our website within 24 hours after the show ends. If you have to leave early, you can return to our website at your convenience and listen to the broadcast at any time. The content of this broadcast is copyrighted and is the property of the Knowledge Group, Inc., doing business as Ask About Fly Fishing. Recordings or transcriptions of this program cannot be distributed or sold in any form. When we return, we'll be talking with Mikey Weir about fly fishing the Truckee River. Is it a kayak or a rowboat? The new OSG Commander from Outcast Sporting Gear is the best of both worlds. The OSG Commander is a 35-pound inflatable fishing boat with kayak maneuverability, simple oars, and an open cockpit for easy wading. With the OSG Commander, you can fin kick slowly along a steep shoreline and stand up and fish a shallow gravel bar and row down to your favorite fishing hole. Find out more about OSG Commander at www.outcastboats.com. That's www.outcastboats.com. Outcast, leave the crowds behind. Before we introduce Mikey, we'd like to let you know about the great gifts we have to give away tonight. For our drawing tonight, we'll be giving away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to Fly Fusion magazine. So you have two chances to win tonight in our drawing. Now, if you haven't registered yet for our drawing, you can do so now. Just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and look for the link under Mikey's section that says click here to register for our drawing. Click on that link, fill out the form, and we'll announce the winners at the end of the show. We will also be giving away a copy of Mikey's latest DVD, Soulfish 2 Fish Mode, courtesy of Fisheye Videos. And to find out more about what Fisheye Videos has to offer, go to www.fisheyevideos.com. That's www.fisheyevideos.com. And you can learn and see about all the other DVDs and video magazines that Mikey produces. Now, here's how you can win. You must be the first person to answer the question we ask at the end of the show. And the question will be about something we talk about during the show. And you must submit your answer along with your name and location in the text box on our homepage. So listen closely and use your best typing skills, and hopefully you'll win that DVD Soulfish 2 Fish Mode. Tonight our guest is Mikey Weir. Mikey started fly fishing at age 7, and the sport has been a big part of his life ever since. Mikey was born in New Zealand and moved to the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountains at age 2. He spent much of his childhood chasing around bass and trout in the Highway 88 region. Mikey joined the Delta Fly Fishers at age 9 and began tying flies. Mikey moved to Lake Tahoe in 1997 and has been working in the fly fishing industry in the summers and snowboarding in the winters ever since. He started out as a shop employee with the Tahoe Fly Fishing Outfitters and has been a full-time guide in the Tahoe area since 2000. Mikey most frequently guides the Carson Rivers, Pleasant Valley, and Walker Rivers, the Truckee, Little Truckee, and the High Country Lakes. In addition to guiding, Mikey also started and runs Burl Productions. They do Fisheye Fly Fishing Video Magazine and have worked on several other projects such as the Trout Bum Diaries. Burl Productions is the first fishing-oriented production company to bring non-instructional hardcore fishing entertainment-based videos to the market. Burl Productions still prides itself on producing the most exciting videos available today. Mikey has produced several Fisheye video magazines as well as his fly fishing adventure videos, Soulfish and Soulfish 2 Fish Mode. Mikey still guides a bit in the Central Sierras and around Northern California and also offers film services through Burl Productions. They specialize in doing promo videos for guide services and destinations. They will also film your guide trip or fishing outing and make a memories DVD for those who are interested. Well, Mikey, welcome to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you on board, and got lots to talk about tonight because, as I understand, the Truckee River is a big fishery, and there's lots of parts and pieces. So let's get started right away. And since we do have an international audience, we'd like to find out first where in the world is the Truckee River, so that people from even out of our country will know where it's at.
Well, the Truckee is pretty easy to find. It flows in and out of Lake Tahoe, and Lake Tahoe is right on the dividing line between California and Nevada. And so if you look at a map right there where California bends and Nevada meets it, right in the right where California bends there, you'll find Lake Tahoe, and Lake Tahoe is roughly half in California, half in Nevada, and so that's kind of the start of the Truckee River, so real easy spot to find.
Okay, and the Truckee flows from starts in California and then flows into Nevada. Is that correct?
That is correct, yep.
Okay. So why don't you, so that we can get an understanding of this river, give us a tour starting up there in the headwaters, and describe the river and its characteristics as we move on down, and maybe throw in some seasonal aspects of it as well, because we are moving from a very high mountain region out into the desert, in fact, right?
That's correct, yeah. The Truckee is one of the few rivers that flows east out of California and eventually ends up down in Nevada, the terminus of which is Pyramid Lake. And Pyramid doesn't really have an outflow. It's kind of a sinkhole out there in the desert, and that's kind of where the Truckee ends. But when most people think of the Truckee, they think of the lower Truckee, the part that flows from Lake Tahoe down into Reno, Nevada, and eventually out into Pyramid Lake. But there's a lot more to the watershed. There's actually the upper Truckee, which is the headwaters to the Truckee, which flows into Lake Tahoe. There's the Little Truckee River, which is the a main tributary to the lower Truckee River, and also lots of other small tributaries that have great fishing and add a lot of character to the river as well. So I guess if you're going to go for a tour, we'd like to do the entire watershed, and I'd like to spend a minute talking about the upper Truckee River, which it's a very underrated fishery, often overlooked. Not too many people even consider the upper Truckee when they're thinking about coming to the area to fish the Truckee River. And the upper Truckee originates just south of Highway 88 in an area called Nice Meadows. And that's high elevation. Headwaters are up over 8,500 feet. And that flows 32 miles from the headwaters down into Lake Tahoe, and most of which is fishable. But the upper Truckee is a one-season river. In other words, the lower Truckee, many sections of the lower Truckee are open year-round, whereas the upper Truckee is only open for a few months in the middle of summer. So it opens July 1st and closes September 31st, and so it's what we would consider a one-season river. And it's all catch and release, single barbless, artificial, flies and lures only. So it's not a place where you can come and keep fish, but it's a great recreational fishery. And so when you talk about the upper Truckee, it's kind of broken into two sections. The upper part is small stream, wilderness fishing setting. It's a notable fishery because it's one of the best success stories for the reintroduction of the Lahontan cutthroat in our area. And Lahontan cutthroat were the native fish to this area, to the Lake Tahoe, Pyramid Lake, Truckee watershed. And over the years, they had been kind of wiped out in some areas and severely decimated in others. And so there's a lot of efforts underway these days to reintroduce and restore the Lahontan cutthroat to their native drainages. And the upper Truckee has been one of the best success stories when it comes to that. When I was a kid, it was primarily a brook trout fishery, and over the years, just through electroshocking and hard work through the Department of Fish and Game, they've been able to clear out the rainbows and brookies up there and successfully reintroduce the Lahontan cutthroat. And now it's a thriving fishery to go up there and target those Lahontan cutthroats. And so a lot of people come to this area just to target the Lahontan. California has a heritage trout challenge where people are challenged to catch six of our 11 native species of trout in our state, and the Lahontan Cutthroat are one of those, and so it's a great place to go up there and catch a Lahontan Cutthroat. And from there, the river cascades down through kind of a steep canyon section, and within that canyon there's a couple impassable fish barriers, and that is kind of what protects that upper headwaters area from intrusion from other what people would consider invasive fish, but there's lots of nice wild rainbows and browns below those barriers. So between Christmas Valley and Lake Tahoe is kind of what people would consider the lower upper Truckee. And lots of good rainbow and brown fishing. It's closed in the spring and in the fall to protect the fish that spawn out of Lake Tahoe. And so, again, you can only fish there in the summer. And the river kind of takes on a different character once it gets down to the Tahoe Basin. Kind of becomes more meandering and winding, lots of nice big undercut banks, and lots of wood and structure in the river, big root balls and stuff. So it can be tough water to fish. There are some really quality fish in there, but they don't give themselves up easy. And but definitely worth taking a look.
Now, what's the access like to these two sections? Where would you access it, and is it all walk in?
Well, the upper Truckee up in the Meese Meadows section is all hike in, and there's a couple places you can access it. Probably the most popular trailhead is the Meese Meadows trailhead, and that's just up at Carson Pass on Highway 88, and you park on the south side of the highway. And it's a 2 to 2.5 mile hike just to get to the headwaters of the stream, and then the trail follows the creek for a couple miles after that, and there's lots of places you can get in there and fish. And so that the whole upper Truckee there is going to be all hiking. But once it reaches Christmas Valley, it flows right along South Upper Truckee Road and then down through the Tahoe Basin. And there's lots of places where you can park, and there's some little parks along the river and stuff where you can get out and easily walk down and have fishing access. So once you get down to the Tahoe Basin, access becomes a lot easier.
Okay, good. So now we're down to Lake Tahoe, right? And
Lake Tahoe is the third deepest lake in America. It's one of the biggest high alpine lakes in the world. It's definitely an iconic fixture of California and of America, I think. It's a national treasure, in my opinion. And so the waters are crystal clear. There's places you can see 40, 50, 60 feet down into the water, and at one point, we had the biggest trout in the world swimming around in there.
And that would be the Lahontan, right?
The Lahontan Cutthroat, yep.
Right.
And so the upper Truckee is the biggest tributary to Lake Tahoe. There's several small creeks that flow into Lake Tahoe, but the upper Truckee would be the biggest of those tributaries. And the only outflow of Lake Tahoe is the Big Truckee River. And so when most people talk about the Truckee River, that's kind of what people think of and what people are typically talking about is the lower Truckee. So from the section where it flows out of Lake Tahoe, down into the town of Truckee, eventually down into Reno, and all the way down into Pyramid Lake. And so right where the big Truckee flows out of Lake Tahoe, there's a little dam, which isn't much of a dam. It's more of just kind of a little spillway with a few gates on it. And it doesn't really control the level of the lake very much. They can raise and lower the lake a couple or a few feet, but not much. And so mostly it just acts as kind of a regulator for the outflow of the river. And right there under that spillway, just below the spillway, Highway 89 crosses the river right there, and there's a big pool right there, and the area is called Fanny Bridge. For all the tourists that lean over the bridge, look down at the fish or the bunch of big, healthy rainbows and browns that stack up right there below the dam. And it's illegal to fish for 1,000 yards below the dam. So these fish are protected there, and they become kind of a tourist attraction. In the summer, you can get a handful of fish food out of the fish feeder and throw it out there, and the ducks are swimming trying to grab the food, and these big rainbows and browns come up and are smacking the ducks out of the way with their tails, and it just turns into a feeding frenzy, and people are throwing potato chips and peanuts and stuff in there, and kind of a fun tourist attraction. If you're new to the area, it's a neat place to stop because it kind of gives you an idea of the size and shape of some of the fish that inhabit the Truckee. And on occasion, I've seen rainbows and browns in there up to 12, 15 pounds. So
you
can see some nice big fish.
Sounds like it, yeah.
And so from there, the river's typically pretty crystal clear coming out of Lake Tahoe. And so that first about 10 miles of the river really has kind of a spring creek characteristic to it. It's kind of shallow, a few riffles through there and a few big pools, but not a lot of structure in that upper water. And in the summers, it's a really popular rafting run, just kind of a tourist run. They rent boats out there in Tahoe City, and the locals call it the Bikini Hatch. And sometimes you'll have an upwards of 500 people floating down the river. So not ideal conditions for fishing. There are some fish that hold in that upper water, but very, very low numbers as far as fish per mile in that upper water. And so the good fishing really doesn't start until after Alpine and Squaw Valley Creek flow in to the river, and it takes on a little more water, takes on a little more gradient. So that's kind of where I would recommend starting from a fishing perspective.
Okay.
And go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you about describe the character of the river from that point on there.
Well, once the recreational rafting run goes from Tahoe City down to a place called River Ranch, which is just right at the entrance road to Alpine Meadows Ski Resort. And there's a big pool right next to the River Ranch, and that's where everybody takes out from their little float. And below there, the river really starts to take on some more gradient. So it starts to plunge down, gets a little steeper. It's real shallow and rocky through there, so it's not ideal for recreationally floating the river. And but it really increases as far as fish habitat goes. Alpine Meadows Creek flows in, Squaw Valley Creek flows in just below that. And so the river usually takes on a little bit more water there. It starts to have a little higher flow to it, and a lot more rocks. And with the water breaking up over the Cascades, it provides a lot better substrate as well as favorable habitat for the insects. And so we start to really the bug population starts to really build up, and in turn, that's what kind of holds the fish around there. And so there's some good public access. Along Highway 89.
That's what I just was going to ask you. What's the access like? So
there's lots of good places along Highway 89 where you can access the river. There's a couple public campgrounds where for a small fee you can camp out for the night, and the river flows kind of right through the campgrounds, so you can access there. There's also lots of places where you can just pull off right off of Highway 89 and walk down the river. There is some private land along there. There's some homes along the river, so you got to be respectful of people's yards and their space. But there can be some great fishing to be had through there all throughout the summer. Sometimes by late summer, the water gets a little too low in that area, and the fish start to move downriver. The fish in the Truckee, in my experience, are very migratory, and so they will come up into that upper part of the river, especially in the spring when the water downriver is high, and they'll come up there to find that low, clear cold water, and then as summer progresses, the water gets a little warmer up there, and the fish start to head back down. But yeah, great fishing all through there, and all the way down to the town of Truckee, where Donner Creek flows in. Donner Creek flows out of Donner Lake and down into the Truckee, and it enters the Truckee just at the top or the west end of the town of Truckee. And so the river takes on even a little more flow there and flows right on through the back of the town of Truckee.
Well, good, good. So that, we're still on the California side in Truckee, right? Still got a ways to go to the border.
That's correct.
Yeah, so that's a good place to for us to take a break here, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk more about the Truckee and continue our tour on downriver. So hold on tight, and we'll be right back. Keeney's Fly Shop in Sacramento, California features classes on all aspects of fly fishing. They have an extensive inventory and fly tying department, and a friendly, experienced staff whose primary goal is your complete satisfaction. Among their many services, one can book private waters or take advantage of their international travel service. Visit their extensive website at www.kiene.com. That's www.kiene.com. Or call Kiene's Fly Shop at 1-800-400-0359. That's 1-800-400-0359. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We're talking with Mikey Weir about fly fishing the Truckee River. If you'd like to ask Mikey a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Mikey, at this point in the show, I always like to ask my guests, you know, what's going on in their fly fishing world. So what have you been up to?
Well, been probably my biggest accomplishment in the last year was releasing Soulfish 2, and it's another around-the-world, multi-destination fly fishing adventure movie. So in this episode, we went back to Mongolia. I'd originally went to Mongolia when we were filming for Soulfish 1 and did some exploratory stuff around northern Mongolia. I got to check out some rivers that very few people have ever seen or fished, and one river in particular really stood out. And so after 2 years of planning and logistics, Peter Mullett, Jeff Currier, Brent Dawson, and I went back and floated 140 miles of this remote river that had never been floated and fished before by anglers. So that was a really unique and special treat, and so that's definitely a highlight of the movie. After that, Jeff Currier talked me into coming down to Egypt and fishing for Nile perch with him. So Brant and I went to Egypt and fished on Lake Nasser for tigerfish and Nile perch. Also got to spend some time up in British Columbia with April Vokey, Eric Jackson, and some of the guys from Nicholas Dean Lodge, Sky, and Dustin. Did a little fishing for largemouth bass in central Mexico with Richard McPherson. Chasing the Grand Slam on the flats of Belize with Mike Coppethorne. Spent a little time in Hawaii with Coach Duff, chasing those giant Hawaiian bonefish. And also some time in Louisiana on the marsh with Brian Carter and some great trout fishing from here in California. So it's definitely a big effort, couple and a half years in the making. And so, yeah, it was a big accomplishment to get that out and on DVD and out to the market for people to enjoy.
Yeah, sounds like great entertainment, and also learning about some really kind of exotic fisheries that are around the world. Sounds exciting. Well, for people to find out more about and to be able to get that video, which is one of the ones we're giving away tonight, but not everybody's going to win. So if they'd like to purchase that or any other DVDs, where would they go on the web?
The best spot would be to go to fisheyevideos.com. And I've got all my videos posted and for sale up there. I'm currently in the process of rebuilding my other website, which is burlproductions.com. And I'm also working on a new movie project, which is called Cali Rush. And we just put a website up for that movie. If anybody's interested, it's called CaliRushMovie.com.
How do you spell Cali?
C-A-L-I.
Okay.
R-U-S-H movie.com.
Okay.
And terrific. So all those are great resources.
Yeah.
I also have a blog that I update some of my fishing adventures on, which is burlfish.blogspot.com. And there's also links from both Burl Productions and Fisheye Videos to get you there.
Okay. Good. Good. Lots of ways to keep track in, see what you're up to. So that's terrific. Well, good. Well, thanks for sharing that. And let's get back to talking about the Truckee River. Let's dive back into our questions here, and you had kind of left off giving us a tour at the town of Truckee, so why don't you continue our tour and describe the river from that point on.
So just above the town of Truckee, Donner Creek flows in, which comes out of Donner Lake, and it's a pretty substantial tributary, and so that adds a little bit more flow to the river. The river starts taking on a little bit more gradient. There's some decent pocket water fishing and boulder fishing right through the town of Truckee. And then just below the town of Truckee, Trout Creek flows into the Truckee. And from there down is basically what's considered the wild trout section. So from Trout Creek all the way down to the Nevada state line. And that section of river is now open year-round. So it's a four-seasons fishery. You can fish it any time of year, temperatures and water conditions allowing. And that's where what most people really think of as the Truckee, the classic wild trout fishery is kind of from there down. So from just below the town of Truckee along Glenshire Drive, down through Hirschdale, down through the canyon by Floriston and Fairab and down the state line, is kind of the classic and definitely the most prolific water as far as trout go in California. And so if you'd like, I can give you kind of a little breakdown all the way down into Nevada. And then the fishing these days in Nevada is great as well, and that's also open year-round. And really in the last few years, that Nevada water has really turned on the Truckee. And we're seeing more and more fish down there, better numbers, better size. And so definitely worth talking about the Nevada water as well.
Sure. Now, is that something you fish the California and the Nevada, guide in both, or?
Well, I typically only – some years I have got a Nevada license. The last couple of years I haven't got a Nevada guide's license, so primarily I've been guiding the California water. Typically I guide from the town of Truckee down to state line, anywhere down through there. And I work with the Tahoe Fly Fishing Outfitters. We're based out of South Shore here, and a few of our guides have Nevada guide licenses, and so I can definitely give you some recommendations. There's also some other great guide services that that focus on that Nevada water, including the former Reno Fly Shop, which is Dave Stanley, and his team of guides. And so there's definitely some guiding options down there. I primarily focus on just the California water. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, why don't you keep your tour going, since you know that, and can kind of give us an overview of the Nevada water as well. That'd be great.
Well, for most kind of beginning and intermediate fly fishermen, the best water on the Truckee and kind of the water that we recommend you go check out first is from the town of Truckee all the way down to Glenshire Drive. And so if you go out of downtown Truckee right before you get on Highway 80, there's a right-hand turn, and it's called Glenshire Drive. And Glenshire kind of parallels the river, and a lot of the locals kind of know that as Art's Run, and it's kind of a famous section of river. Lots of access points right along the road there where you can pull off. There's kind of rough dirt parking spots where you can pull off and walk down the river. And it's nice because typically there's a little less flow to the river right up in that area. The water is very clear, and so it's easy for beginners and intermediate to see the lie, see the depth of the water, and read the water in a way where they can, determine where the fish are going to be sitting. And there's just a lot of great habitat through there, a lot of little nooks and crannies and hidey holes and boulders and stuff that the fish can sit in and around. And so it's real fun water. You can really take your time and kind of pick that water apart. It's all kind of walk-in and wading water. I wouldn't recommend trying to go through there with a boat or a float tube. It's shallow and rocky and not great water for floating. And then there's a great access point right at Glenshire Drive. Glenshire crosses the Truckee right there. There's a big bridge and there's a big parking area right there. We do a lot of our beginning and intermediate fly fishing lessons right there. There's some great pools and some runs along there. You can either follow the railroad tracks or walk up through there. And most of the access is pretty easy through there.
And now, Mikey, up until this point, you just mentioned that area, you just talked about wasn't floatable or whatever. What about the water you talked about previously in California side? Is that a float river, or is that primarily a wade fishing river?
Primarily a wade fishery. Definitely all the fishing up there is going to be wading. As I mentioned, there's a little bit of a rafting run out of Tahoe City, but it's from Tahoe City to River Ranch. But it's more of just a recreational float, and it's nothing I wouldn't recommend fishing up there, and especially not from a raft. And so there are some sections of the Truckee that are great for floating and fishing, but I wouldn't recommend floating the Truckee from a fishing standpoint anywhere up from Glenshire Bridge. The best, if you're going to float the river, the best put in is right at Glenshire Bridge, and then you can go down from there and take out Hirschdale, or put it in Hirschdale and float down to Fairad.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of the way it works is right there where the river, where Glenshire crosses the river, that's the start of the San Francisco Flycaster section. And so there's, I believe it's a 4.5 mile, somewhere around there, 4 to 5 mile stretch of river that is private. And the San Francisco Flycasters are an exclusive fly club. They have a little lodge down there on the river. They own the land on both sides of the river. And so it's illegal to trespass on their land. You can, however, through the California water access laws, float through there on a boat, but you're not allowed to stop or get out or wade in their water. And so that whole stretch of the Truckee from the town of Truckee down the state line is wild trout, designated wild trout water. But the San Francisco Flycasters have a special permit that allows them to stock some rainbow trout on their property. And so what happens is a lot of times they stock those rainbow trout, and a lot of the studies show that the wild trout don't like to interact with the planted trout. And, you know, my personal opinion is that the wild trout, once they've been in the river for a while, they establish a pecking order. You know, they establish themselves in an order of dominance, and there's a certain amount of etiquette involved. Whereas the planted trout, they throw them in there, are just doing whatever they can do to eat, and so they a lot of times put fish that are bigger than the wild fish, and the fish will kind of take the prime lie within a pool, and it kind of crowds the wild fish out. And so for recreational anglers, it's actually provided some good fishing opportunities in that above and below their property, a lot of the wild fish will move up and away from the private section and into the public water, and so that's a great, you know, certain years there can be a lot of fish stacked up above that Glenshire area that have moved out of that water. And also the wild fish on the Truckee are very, very migratory. Very important for anglers to realize how migratory the fish on the Truckee are. They move up and down throughout that watershed quite a bit throughout the year. And so different times of year there's going to be fish in different areas. But on average and in general, on either side of the Flycaster's property can provide some good fishing.
Now, when you say migratory, is this just a it's not due to spawning activity, more for, you know, in search of different feeding opportunities, or why do they move?
A little bit due to spawning, but primarily due to feeding and temperatures. The trout are going to try to kind of seek the optimal temperatures, and the temperatures throughout the Truckee system change throughout the years, and a lot of it's due to the different tributaries to the Truckee. And so the other thing that causes the fish to move a lot is the water clarity. And so when we get a high runoff and the water down in the canyon just completely chocolate milk brown, those fish will push up the river looking for cleaner water to feed. And then as that upper river drops and becomes too low and clear, the fish just don't feel secure in that shallow water, and so they start to move back down the river. And so, in my opinion, a lot of the migration of the fish is due to temperatures and chasing food sources, as well as looking for clean water. Sometimes that heavily silted water can affect their gills and bother them.
Okay.
And so the water becomes public again just where Highway 80 crosses over the Truckee below Glenshire, which is right above Hurstdale. So if you're on Highway 80 and say you're coming up from Reno and you're heading toward Truckee, you go past the Hurstdale exit, and the highway is going to cross the river three times there, and the last time it crosses right before the state line is a big agricultural check station. You kind of see the river bend off to the left, and that's where it becomes public again, and there's some great access points in through there. That section is called Joe's Schoolyard. It crosses under the highway again, and that's called the Loop, and then under the highway again, and that's Hurstdale right there. And so right at Joe's Schoolyard, Prosser Creek flows in. There's a reservoir called Prosser Reservoir, and out of it there's about a mile of water that flows down into the Truckee. And the water in Prosser, it's typically in the reservoir itself, is typically warmer. It's a little more off color the water is slightly more alkali. It's a the reservoir itself is kind of a high desert basin, and so the water is a little more alkali. And so it kind of changes the dynamic of the river again. So typically, prostrate trees can have a little color to the water. It's going to be a little more greenish. There's going to be a lot more water grasses, which harbor different types of insects. There's a lot of scuds in that water. And so once Prosser Creek flows in, the river starts to kind of take on a little bit of a different dynamic. Typically from there down, it's going to be a little more colored up. You're going to see more of those grass beds lining the edges of the river, which are prime feeding locations for big brown trout and rainbows. And then a mile down from there, the Little Truckee flows in, and the Little Truckee really typically adds a lot of water to the river. So say above Prosser Creek at an average summer flow, the river might be 270, 300 TSF, and then Prosser Creek will dump in another 90 to 100 TSF. So say we're up to around 350. And then a lot of times during the summer, the Little Truckee is going to be flowing out of Boca Reservoir at 250 CSF, just on average, and these flows fluctuate quite a bit. But so say if the river was at 350 leading up to that point, another 200 come in, and then you're up to 600 CSF. That's a totally different river than if you're fishing just out of the town of Truckee and you're fishing that 250 CSF. And so it just kind of gives people an idea of how much the river changes within this short amount of time. And really, right, it's like fishing each time another one of these rivers, these tributaries flow in, it's like fishing an entirely different river.
Mm-hmm. So from point on down to Pyramid Lake, is it pretty much a floatable river then?
Well, it is. But there's some obstructions along the way. A lot of people put in Hurstdale, and at the Hurstdale exit right there, which is just below where the Little Truckee flows in, and it's a very popular commercial rafting run in the summer. People do whitewater trips there. It's the best rapids on the Truckee, and so there's some class four, sometimes four-plus rapids down in the canyon there. And so great for the whitewater guys. Some fishermen float through there. I personally love floating through there in the summer, so I don't mind running the rapids, but some fishermen are definitely intimidated by the rapids. And then once you get down into that state line area, there's not a lot of good places for taking in and putting out. You got to get a little more creative. And then once you get into Nevada, you really have to look at the water and pick your floats, because there's diversion dams and spillways and a couple places where powerhouses release some water back into the river. And so it's not navigable all the way through. So there are some floats through there, but you definitely got to choose your put-ins and take-outs.
Now, do the local fly shops there have river maps that show the put-ins and take-outs and so forth that one could
they
get?
They do, and there's some free maps available online. The Truckee Meadows Water Agency has a free map that shows all the access points, all the put-ins and take-outs for rafters. And so if someone gets on Google and just types in Truckee River Access Map, there are some free maps online that people can download and look at that give access points all the way through California and into Nevada. So those resources are definitely out there.
Okay. I'm going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, I want to have you move real quickly to Pyramid Lake because you're giving a really detailed explanation, but we're going to have to move on, okay?
No problem.
So hang tight, and we'll be right back, and we'll continue our tour. Royal Gorge Anglers is a full-service fly shop on the Arkansas River in Canyon City, Colorado. They provide both walk, wade, and float fishing guide service on the Arkansas, South Platte, and several private high country ranches. They specialize in fly fishing education and work to assure that everyone taking a trip leaves being a better fly fisher. For the best service and the most fun in the Southern Rockies, visit the folks at Royal Gorge Anglers, the gateway to Southern Colorado. Located conveniently on US 50, only 45 minutes from Colorado Springs. For more information, visit their website at www.royalgorgeanglers.com. That's www.royalgorgeanglers.com. Or call them at 888-994-6743. That's 888 888-994-6743. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, and we're talking with Mikey Weir about fly fishing the Truckee River. If you'd like to ask Mikey a question, just go to our webpage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Okay, so we're not even to Reno yet, are we?
We're getting close, yep.
okay. It's how many miles of river is it from Lake Tahoe to Pyramid?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. It's over 70 miles. So there's quite a bit of river through there.
And, yeah, it sounds like it could keep you busy for a lifetime in there, huh?
It really can. I mean, you know, even the locals who fish the river all the time will tell you they don't know everything there is to know about it. There's a lot of different fishing opportunities on the Truckee, and you really could explore the watershed for a lifetime and not get bored. So
yeah. Well, give us kind of let's just put it this way, a quicker tour, Mikey, to the down to the Pyramid. Okay.
Okay. So below Hirschdale is basically what they call the Grand Canyon of the Truckee, and there's a nice canyon section that flows along. Highway 80 there, and it's really great water. It's a little tougher to access. You can walk the tracks, and there's a lot of trails that get you down to the river, but a lot of them are kind of steep and scrambling. A lot of big browns and rainbows live down that section. It doesn't get fished quite as much. That water really turns on more later in the summer once the runoff comes down a little bit and in the fall, and so great fishing there. From there, you get down into state line, and there's the, a really nice section of water just out of Verde. There's a trophy section of water in Nevada that holds a lot of fish. There's a place there where there's a diversion that takes some water out of the river, and then it comes back in a powerhouse. And so the river, that's the only major fluctuation in flows in that Nevada area. And then there's also a lot of water rights that are allocated throughout Nevada. And so throughout the summer, sometimes the flows can decrease in that Nevada section as farmers take out water as needed. But really,
now,
the character of the
Mikey,
river.
I just had a question in on the internet asking about a blue ribbon area just inside the Nevada state line. Is that what you were just talking about?
Yeah, that's right around the town of Verde, which is just right off the 80. And there's a couple easy access points through there. And there are some really nice fish to be caught through that blue ribbon trophy section. And then from there, it goes down into Mogul, which is kind of the area referred to like behind Cabela's. There's a big Cabela's right off Highway 80. The river fishes great all through there. And then it flows through kind of behind the Patagonia outlet, just north of the town of Reno. And then the right through the town of Reno has been fishing great. I mean, you wouldn't think that a river is flowing right through the middle of a population center that big, right through a major city, would be as good as it is, but honestly, the Truckee and all the way through downtown Reno can provide really good fishing, and then east of Reno into Sparks, down to Lockwood, Mustang, and really the river fishes all the way down to about Derby Dam, which is the only real dam on the Truckee, and it's famous for kind of being the nail in the coffin for our original Lahontan cutthroat trout. A lot of people credit Derby Dam with cutting off the migratory spawning route of the Lahontan cutthroat between Pyramid Lake and Lake Tahoe, and that kind of was the major contributing factor to the demise of that and the commercial fishing in the Lahontan cutthroat. Because I think it's important for anglers to understand that at one point in time, Pyramid Lake, the Truckee River and Lake Tahoe, we had the largest trout in the world. The original Pyramid Lake strain of Lahontan cutthroat got up to 70 pounds. And so essentially making them, as far as a normal, a regular trout, not a Hutchin or a salmon, but a regular trout, the Lahontan cutthroat was at one point the biggest trout in the world. But around the turn of the century, they were commercially harvested from both Lake Tahoe and Pyramid. They were canned and sold in restaurants. All the railroads, the original logging, the mining that happened around our area, all those old workers were eating the hot and cutthroat steaks. They were sold in restaurants. They were shipped all over the country via the railroad. And so they were over-harvested. And then once they built Derby Dam, that cut off the spawning route. And so the actual original Pyramid Lake strain were completely eradicated. They basically went extinct. And then Pyramid was repopulated with remnant strains of Lahontan cutthroats from around the area, but not the actual original strain, which at one time was the biggest trout, regular freshwater trout in the world. And so I think that's important for anglers to know, because it just shows that this area has the potential to produce big trout, and it still does. That's why the Truckee is a trophy fishery. It has great habitat and water quality to produce big fish. And so it still does to this day, just not our original Lahontans.
Okay, so and how close are we to Pyramid Lake at that point?
Well, you still got quite a few miles to Pyramid Lake, but once the Truckee crosses 80 right around the turn off to Gerlach, I think that's highway, I don't want to guess that, but it's like 432, the main highway off 80 that heads out toward Pyramid Lake. You don't really fish below there. Most of it becomes tribal land, which is private. Anglers can't get on there. The water gets real warm down there. And so it's not really relevant from a fisherman's standpoint. So from Derby Dam up is really all that we would want to talk about from a fishing point of view.
Okay. So let's thanks. That was a great tour. And we've got a bunch of questions about times of the year and so forth that people have written in. So I want to jump into that right away. Lane in Antioch, California, he asks he says, can you spend a few minutes discussing river access points for those of us that would like some time on the water that don't want to fight the crowds? Can you speak to the best ways to avoid swimmers, inner tubers, rafters that are obsessed with putting down fish? So it sounds like it might get crowded on certain parts of the Truckee. Where can you find some quiet areas? What sections would you send people to?
Well, again, it is very time of year dependent. As far as rafters and inner tubes and stuff, that's primarily going to be in the midsummer. And midsummer is when we experience our largest volume of tourism around this area, and so the Truckee River is a big focal point for tourism, not just fishing, but people that come to, you know, look at wildlife, go swimming, walk their dogs. And so definitely there's a need to juggle recreation on the Truckee. And so in those summer months, typically the best places to find some solitude are the places that are going to be a little harder to get to. And so that kind of Grand Canyon section of Tuolumne Truckee from Hurstdale down to Farad, that can be a great stretch. Anything below Farad, there's not going to be any rafters, so you won't have to worry about rafters. But definitely that upper water around Glenshire and Hurstdale, it's going to be crowded around that time of year. So I would recommend, you know, walking the railroad tracks and taking some of the deer trails down to the river, anywhere below Farad and the Floriston exit is a good option as well. You can kind of pull off there at Floriston, either Floriston or Farad, and walk up or down the river. There's easy access along the tracks, and so for anglers, that's a good option to kind of get away during those summer months.
We got a question from David in Shawnee Mission, Kansas. He said, what months would you consider prime for the Truckee? And considering the other type of tourist traffic that we're getting there too, what's the best time to come out there to fish?
Well, again, different sections of the Truckee fish better at different times of year. And so if you're talking about the upper sections of the Truckee from the town of Truckee up, I would say the best months would be end of April and May, because the water is still going to be clear. That's usually kind of pre-runoff. If you're talking about below the town of Truckee, in my opinion, the prime months would be September, October, November, right around in there. Once the summer crowds die, the water's low and clear, the water temperatures start to come back down, the fish start bulking up for winter. And if you're talking about the Nevada water, from the town of Truckee all the way down to Lockwood or Mustang, I would say that the winter, the late winter, early spring months would be the best for that water. So March, April, May, we get a lot of betas and blue wing olives and little winter stones hatching on that lower Nevada water. So different stretches of the water are going to be prime at different months throughout the year.
What about in the fall? You have good fall fishing there?
September? You know, the fall in general is just a great time to be in our area. The summer crowds really start to die down. The water gets cold. The fish are feeding. So the main stem of the big truckee as well as the little truckee fish really good in the fall. So definitely if you were going to choose one time of year to come just purely from a fishing standpoint, October, November can be great months on the truckee just on average in general.
Okay. Chris in North Carolina says if what month would be the best time to fish for trophy fish and what sections would you suggest to go for trophy fish?
The winter, late winter, early spring on that Nevada water has been producing a lot of big fish. More, I think, on average than the California water. So I'd say that, March, April, May, from the town of Truckee on down is a great time and a great area to target trophy size, fish over 20 inches. It'd be a great zone for that.
I guess that kind of answers Dan's question from North Dakota. He says, I'll be in Reno the end of March, and he might be able to squeak in a day of fishing. Where should he fish? So would you suggest that same section?
Yeah, if he's going to be in Reno, definitely buy a Nevada license and fish that Nevada water. There's a ton of parks right through Reno area, and they Nevada stocks fish at a lot of those parks. And then there's a ton of big wild fish in there, and the fish all through town there have gotten really big and healthy, and we're seeing great numbers of fish down through there as well. In the last couple of years, there's been a couple of tournaments on the Truckee down around that area. We got the Truckee One Fly. We got the October Cutthroat Classic. And then this year, coming up just next month in March, we're having a regional Team USA qualifier right there in that Nevada water, the Truckee, the 10th and 11th of March. So that's coming up as well.
And it looks like we have like an intervention taking place here potentially. Andy in Albuquerque says his son lives in Reno, but he's not a fly fisherman. He says, I'll be out in Reno in July. Where on the Truckee is a good place to take him where we can have a good chance of getting him hooked on the sport?
If he lives right there in Reno, again, I would just recommend fishing some of that Reno water. There's several parks within Reno. There's lots of public access there. The only time that water is really kind of what I would consider crowded would be during the prime summer months where there's people swimming and inner tubing, but all winter long, there's great fishing opportunities all through there. So I would just head right down to the river there in Nevada as opposed to buying a California license and driving all the way up to Truckee. I think you'd have just as good, if not better, fishing right down there around the town of Reno.
And a question from Steve in Monument, Colorado. He says, I usually end up in Tahoe area either during the summer visiting family or skiing in the winter. Are there productive areas near Truckee or Tahoe during midsummer? Now we're talking about California, right? So.
Yeah, that's up in the California water. Definitely that Glenshire area. This summer was the best I've seen it in my 15 years of guiding on the Truckee. That water was really spectacular this year. There was just a lot of fish. It was real forgiving fishing. The Truckee's known as being a really tough river. But all summer long, that section just kept producing fish, even for novice anglers. And so, that's great options all through there around that Glenshire area.
Okay, and I just got a question in from on the Internet. Ken in Whitehall, Montana, he says, I'm coming to Pyramid Lake in April for cutthroats. Do you have a section that would be a good side trip for the day? I guess he's talking, fishing the river.
Yeah, most definitely. If you're staying out around the Pyramid area and you want to break the day up and get over on the Truckee, there's some great water to be fished around Lockwood and Mustang, which is not a far drive from Pyramid Lake. So if you get on Highway 80, there's either the Lockwood exit or the Mustang exit. And the Nature Conservancy bought some property along the lower Truckee there just out of Mustang. They've done a lot of restoration work down there. The property's open to the public for fishing. There's a bunch of trophy trout in there. And that time of year, we get some great hatches. The blue-wing olives start coming off, get some betas coming off. Still get some of those little black winter stones down there. And definitely a great option to peel away from Pyramid and try a little fishing on the river.
We've got a question from Jerry. And looks like he's in Kenwood, Tahoe, Donner. He says, can you talk a little bit about the little Truckee? I tend to fish it because I can fish dries there more than I think I can on the Truckee. Am I mistaken, or is that your experience too? So, and I know you want to talk a little bit about the little Truckee, so here's your opportunity, Mikey, to give us a little background on the little Truckee.
Well, the little Truckee is the biggest tributary to the big Truckee River. And it's kind of broken up into different sections. There's two reservoirs on the little Truckee, just 100 yards or so off the main river, just right there in Hirschdale. The first reservoir you come to is called Boca Reservoir. Then just 4 miles above Boca is another reservoir called Stampede. And so most people that fish the little Truckee fish that tailwater section. It's just a short tailwater section between Stampede and Boca Reservoirs. And then there's another very long freestone section of the Little Truckee above Stampede Reservoir. And it's also great fishing, but it's kind of shallower, fish moving in and out there through the year. There's a lot of great public access up along Highway 89, like heading from Truckee up toward if you're heading out to Davis Lake to go fishing or heading up toward Quincy, all along Highway 89, there's a bunch of great fishing. But a lot of people and probably what the listener is referring to is the Little Truckee tailwater section, which is between Boca and Stampede. And he's absolutely right in that it's definitely a more consistent dry fly fishery than the Big Truckee. The Big Truckee itself, we have some great dry fly fishing throughout the year. It's a little sporadic. We have, on every other year or so, we have great hatches of green drakes on the Big Truckee, brown drakes, status, blue-wing olives, squalla stones, big golden stones, little black stones, yellow stones, little yellow sallies. Whereas the Little Truckee, it's going to be typically smaller insects due to the nature of the fishery. It remains a very stable temperature throughout the year and typically a pretty consistent flow. They definitely bump the flows up and down out of the dam a bit throughout the year. But for the most part, in comparison to the Big Truckee, the flows are really stable. So that just it provides a very stable aquatic atmosphere for the entomology, for the insect populations. And so in the Little Truckee itself, there's very prolific populations of especially betas and midges, and they come off in large numbers at times. And so the flies you use are going to be smaller, but definitely on average better dry fly fishing. So I would definitely agree.
Okay. Need to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's talk about some of the fish and equipment flies that one would need out there. So hang tight, and we'll be right back.
No problem.
Have you ever dreamed about the classic actions of bamboo fly rods? Did you know that it's possible for you to make your own bamboo fly rods? With the help of Power Fibers Online Magazine, you can do just that. Power Fibers is a magazine dedicated to making bamboo fly rods and telling the stories about bamboo through the ages. From rod-making techniques to stories about bamboo rods to rod maker profiles to classic papers, Power Fibers has it all. Visit our website at www.powerfibers.com. That's www.powerfibers.com. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We're talking with Mikey Weir about fly fishing the Truckee River. If you'd like to ask Mikey a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box send us your question. Receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Well, Mikey, I want to ask you a few questions about the fish in the river. You've mentioned a few species, and I just want to make sure we've got them all covered. What all are considered fish that we would target as fly fishers for in the Truckee River?
Well, I think the big Truckee River these days is most famous for its population of big brown trout. Some great browns in there. There's primarily rainbows in the big Truckee. There are a few Lahontan cutthroat within the system as well. There's been some efforts to reintroduce the Lahontan to the main stem of the Truckee there, and with varying degrees of success, but for the most part, they haven't really established themselves in any strong numbers. And so primarily rainbows, secondary browns, occasional Lahontan cutthroats, and then in the tributaries, there's a lot of brook trout, but we rarely will see them in the main stem. Very rarely will someone catch a brook trout in the main stem of the Truckee. And we also have mountain whitefish, which are another native fish that a lot of fly fishermen don't target them, but they get caught as a bycatch quite a bit. And I personally like them. I think they're kind of a neat fish, but most people wouldn't typically try to target them.
Yeah, most people aren't disappointed when they have them on the line until they bring them up and they can see what they are. Because they give you a pretty decent fight, so...
Yeah, they fight hard. I mean, my only complaint about whitefish as a sport fisherman would be just that it's sometimes tough to get your fly back. They have this, like, 10-second twitch they do, or typically a trout, once you get him in the net and you get him under control, they kind of calm down and let you take the fly out of their mouth. But those whitefish, they just every 10 seconds they do a huge body bend, and they have these small mouths, and it's tough to get your flies out. You just get in there and start to get your fly, and they bend again and flip away, and then you start to get your fly, and they bend again. So I think most people don't like them just because they're kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Now, are there any golden trout in the Truckee River system anywhere?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
No.
What's a trophy rainbow in the Truckee, or a trophy brown? What size?
You know, I would kind of consider a trophy fish being over 20 inches. Okay. And there are rainbows and browns in the Truckee up to 30-plus inches. Every year you hear about a couple 10-plus pound browns and rainbows being caught. Sometimes you even hear about fish of over 15 pounds being caught in the Truckee. So there are definitely some big fish in there, and the river has the aquatic entomology structure to grow very large fish. And so that's kind of what I would consider to be the benchmark, would be that 30-inch plus range. And so a really dedicated angler, you know, that's kind of what you're hoping to catch, would be that 30-inch brown.
Okay. Let's talk about equipment. Is a standard like 5-weight, you know, 9-foot 5-weight good to go out there, or would you bring something different in the way of a rod?
Yeah, good old 9-foot 5-weight is definitely kind of the standard go-to for the area. Adequate for fishing most of the water on the Truckee for nymphing and dry flies. Sometimes we'll step up to a 6-weight for throwing streamers with sink tips. There is some water on the Truckee, especially that water through Nevada and the lower sections of the Truckee in California around state line, that are suitable for switch rods. More and more of the guys around here are starting to take up those 5- and 6-weight switch rods that give you a little extra length for nymphing and a little more power for roll casting. And I wouldn't say that there's any water really big enough on the Truckee to warrant spay fishing, though. I mean, there's maybe a couple places where you could get away with it, but it's not really an ideal method for our water. So good old 5- or 6-weight, 9-footer is fine.
Otis, it looks like he's from the Truckee River area, asks about split shot versus sinking line. Is there any need for sinking line on the Truckee, or can you do pretty much everything with floating line?
You know, I fish sink tips, a floating running line with a sink tip on it when I'm fishing with streamers, and especially out of the boat, like we're rafting and I'm throwing streamers out of the boat, I'll use that sink tip just to get our streamers down there a little quicker. But on average and in general, fishing with split shot on a floating line is going to get the job done in just about all situations on the Truckee, and is definitely going to be the most effective method to get down to where the fish are. The Truckee lends itself really well to nymph fishing, and so if you're just out to catch as many fish as you can, nymphing with split shot under an indicator is by far going to be the most effective technique on average and in general year-round throughout the Truckee.
Is there anything in particular that you do as far as rigging up your terminal tackle for nymphing?
You know,
use an indicator, not use one, that kind of thing.
You know, yeah, there's a lot of different rigs I use in the Truckee. I mean, that's one of the things I like about the Truckee is it's a great river for experimenting with different fishing techniques. I personally like indicatorless nymphing, so I do a lot of, European nymphing styles, Spanish nymphing, Czech nymphing, Polish nymphing, which are basically just different variations of indicatorless tight line nymphing techniques. And there's a lot of great water on the Truckee for that. A lot of people use indicators, and I use indicators at times as well, and I definitely use indicators with my clients quite a bit. It's by far the most effective way to get fish on the Truckee, and everybody's got their different rigs that they like, but lots of different variations of kind of your standard nymph rigs will work down there.
Okay.
I think it's worth mentioning, I also use, I kind of designed a couple flies for fishing in the area, including the Hoppicator, which is basically a big foamy hopper pattern with a bunch of antron on it, and I tie it with a monofilament loop on the front and the back so I can make it, hook it onto my leader with a loop-to-loop connection so I can adjust it on the line just like an indicator. And so that's probably my favorite rig. I'll use my Hoppicator, and instead of using split shot, I tie really heavy flies with double tungsten beads, a ton of lead. And so instead of putting extra split shot on the line, which is just one more hinging point when you're casting, I try to tie my weight into the flies. And so that's what I like to fish with. If I have to use an indicator, I'll usually try to get away with just putting on a Hoppicator. And if not, then I'll just use really heavy flies and kind of use more Czech nymph style techniques with using just heavy flies.
Well, DB in San Diego must know about your Hoppicator because he did ask about that. So he wanted to know if you like that better than a thingamabob as an indicator. So sounds like that's the top choice.
Yeah, definitely. It casts easier, and I've had some really great, memorable fish come up and grab that Hoppicator, and it's always a nice splashy rise when they take it, and it just kind of increases the fishability of your rig. I use thingamabobbers occasionally, but more often if I'm fishing with an indicator, I use a cork indicator where I fold the line over, thread it up through, and then stick a rubber band in and pull that down in the cork so you get a nice 90-degree drop off of the off your indicator. And also fish in the Truckee, especially throughout the course of the summer, by the later months in the summer when the water's clear and they've seen a lot of fishing pressure, they can become very conditioned to indicators. And so the stealthier tactics you can use, the better when it comes to fishing for those trout. I will say our fish in the Truckee, they can get pretty darn educated. We always joke around and say, fish in the Truckee have a PhD in fishermanology. They've seen every fly in the shop and every leader configuration and split shot and everything else by the end of summer, because it is a catch and release fishery, and a lot of these especially the trophy fish have been caught before. And so they require you to definitely take a good critical look at your rig and tighten it up and stealth it out as much as possible.
We've got Chuck in Phoenix just wrote in on the internet here. He says, is there anywhere we can get Mikey's fly recipes, particularly nymphs such as the Caramel Caddis and the Hoppicator?
I don't have any of those online. I guess one of these days I'll get around to doing that. I've just been so busy that it's not really on the radar, but I would say they're fairly easy patterns to tie if you can get your hands on them.
Is there a place they could order those somewhere?
I'm in between companies. I had been working with one company, TimeFlies, and that didn't work out. So I'm actually in the process of switching over to having my patterns tied by another company. And so hopefully they'll be back in shop soon. But definitely a good place to try is the Tahoe Fly Fishing Outfitters in South Lake Tahoe. They still should have a pretty good stock of most of my fly patterns. And Victor, that runs the shop there, he's willing to ship flies out on occasion if people call and ask, especially for my flies. You know, they can order with a credit card and they can ship them some flies out to wherever they live. And then you can kind of just check them out and try to imitate them as best you can, I guess, would be the only advice I got for you right now.
Okay, we've got some questions about flies to use on the truck. Eric in South Lake Tahoe, he says, what are your go-to flies during the various seasons on the truckie? Are they standard ties, or have you tweaked them?
You know, I have a full line of specialty patterns that I've tied specifically for the truckie. I am, a bit of an amateur entomologist, and so I typically kind of my school of thought in fly tying is I try to tie realistic patterns that imitate very specific insects rather than just tying attractors. But, a lot of those attractor patterns do work on the truckie. Ralph Cutter's EC Caddis is a great all-around dry fly. If I had to, recommend one dry fly for the Truckee River, that would probably be it. And then if I had to just recommend one nymph that just all-around in general would be a great option any time of year, it would be a bird's nest nymph. And I think a lot of the old school fly fishermen on the truck, you would agree that just a plain bird's nest nymph in a 16 or, 14 or 16 natural color is just, kind of a great all-around general imitation that will catch fish on the truckie in just about any circumstance.
And Ryan wanted to know about the baitish hatch. He says, is the baitish hatch on the California side as strong as the Nevada side during the spring?
In my experience, no. We've been having, in the last few years especially, we've been having some great baitish hatches on the Nevada side down in that lower water, and especially east of Reno around March and April. So, don't get me wrong, we do have some decent baitish hatches on the California side, but in my personal opinion, I'd say that Nevada water is going to be the hatches are going to be a little more prolific around that time of year.
Let's talk about the hatches for a little bit. Over on the California side, what would you consider, both on the truckie and the little truckie, what are your primary hatches there that you would be concerned with?
Well, on the big truckie, our most famous hatch is going to be our green drakes, and they don't come off every year, and some years they come off in great numbers, and some years they don't. It's very sporadic. When it does happen, it can be really exciting. You can fish these big green drake, patterns, and sometimes, I've seen hatches, green drake hatches, where just every fish in the river comes up and they're looking up and can provide for some really, really cool days. But we also have brown drakes throughout the spring. We have, sulfur mayflies, which are going to be the family of orange and yellows that you see out there, the ephemerellas. Lots and lots of betas, so we get little blueing olives and PMDs and stuff like that. We've got at least five different species of stoneflies. So in the winter, we got the little black stones. In the spring, our primary hatch is going to be the golden stones or the squalla stones. Also have little yellow sallies. We've even seen a few pteranarcissus in the river, which are the big salmon flies. So not huge numbers of them, but there are occasionally a couple around. Lots of midges, lots of species of caddis in there. We got a lot of glossosoma caddis. So that caramel caddis pupa that I tied, that was mentioned earlier, that's tied to represent an emerging glossosoma caddis. And the glossosomas are the little ones that build the stationary cases on the backs of the rocks. Lots of Ryacophla, Hydropsyche caddis, the net-building caddis, the non-shelled caddis. We have Dice cognicus, which are the big October caddis as well.
and the list goes on.
So, yeah, we got a pretty broad spectrum of bugs in the Truckee. And then, but also important to note that within the Truckee watershed, a lot of the trout, especially the bigger, the trophy trout, don't rely completely on insects for their diet. There's a lot of crayfish in the Truckee. A lot of fish eat those crawdads. There's a lot of sculpin in the Truckee. And once the fish reach that trophy size, kind of above 20 inches, they become a lot more piscivorous, meaning they eat more other, a lot of, they typically go for bigger forage like other fish. So Lahontan redside minnows and sculpin would probably be the bulk of that, small white fish and another trout fry.
Yeah, we did have a question from Mass Trude in Reno, and he asked what kind of crayfish pattern do you use?
I personally tie my crayfish on jig hooks. There's a couple companies out there that make jig weighted hooks that have a little bit of lead on them already, and I get a nice jigging kind of crawdad swimming motion out of those. Probably the most popular pattern right now in the Truckee is Tim Haddon's Dead Drift Crayfish, which is commercially tied by Umqua Feather Merchants, and it was tied specifically to imitate molting crawdad on the Truckee, and Tim fishes that pattern dead drifted under an indicator, and especially through August and early September when the water's warm and those crawdads are molting in the Truckee, those crawdad patterns can be deadly for those big fish.
We did get a question in on the internet from Treg Owings in Moscow, Idaho, asking about the streamer fishing. So it sounds like if you're going for some trophies, that streamers might be a way to get to them, huh?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Every year we take some really big fish on streamers out of the Truckee. And the Truckee is a great streamer fishing river. You got to sometimes cover quite a bit of water to be really effective with streamer fishing. But those big fish are definitely looking for those big food sources. And, a well-tied, well-presented streamer can definitely incite that attack instinct in those fish and make for some pretty fun fishing at times. So definitely don't overlook streamer fishing in the Truckee.
Another question on the internet, Frank from Napa asked, do you like jig head type streamers on the Truckee?
I do, yeah. I fish a lot of jig weighted flies, especially when it comes to streamers. And there a lot of people wouldn't like casting the type of flies that I tie, and it's honestly not real enjoyable to cast really heavy flies on a 5 or 6 weight, but it can be really, really effective on the Truckee, especially for getting down deep and quick in that heavier, faster water and getting down to where the fish are sitting. But in my experience, even those big fish, unless they're really hungry, they're not going to move a very far distance to get your fly. And so that's kind of the name of the game, is getting your fly as close to the fish as possible, making them have to do the least amount of work as possible. And so those heavy jig weighted flies can definitely be a good way to do that.
And this is kind of backpedaling here a bit, but we did get a question on the internet from Dan from Bismarck. He says, you mentioned the little Truckee. Is the fishing above Boca Dam accessible in March and early April, or is snow and ice a problem up there?
Every year it's different. Last year there was snow on that road all the way into June. It was tough to get up there, so some years you can still get in there. This year we hardly have any snow, so people were driving up and fishing the little Truckee all the way up till a week ago, and the road was pretty close to dry. So really you just got to kind of look at the snow charts and see how much snow there is in the area. But I can tell you that they don't maintain the road above Boca Reservoir, and so if there is ice and snow, you can count on it being on the road. And so it definitely makes access difficult throughout those throughout the winter and early spring months.
Mm-hmm. We've got a, just time for a couple more questions. Brian O'Keefe, who's been on our show many times as a guest, he wrote in and he says he's going to be there for the Reno Fly Tackle Retailer Show in mid-August. What would he be looking for on the truckie at that time of year? And I, he says, what if I only have a few hours in the evening? Any particular hatches that might be happening then that he'd be keying in on?
You know, August isn't really our month that's known for dry fly fishing. It's more of a month that's known for streamer and nymph fishing. Again, August is when the crawdads are molting. And there's going to be a lot of fly fishing industry professionals coming into town for that show. And there's a lot of good fishing right through Reno there. You know, from where a lot of people are going to be staying in the casinos and stuff. And I've seen people walk right out of the casinos with their waders on, walk down to the river, and catch trophy trout right in downtown there. So it'll be really easy to peel away from the show in the evening, get to some prime water within 5 or 10 minutes, and have a chance at catching, you know, 5 to 10 plus pound fish right through downtown Reno there. So definitely doable, but not going to really be a dry fly game unless you see fish rising. But typically you're going to want to probe water. Water's a little warmer in August, and the fish are going to be a little more lethargic, sitting down deeper. And so you're going to want to tie on some nymphs and split shot or that sink tip and a big streamer and apply some of that water right in downtown Reno there.
Yeah, late evening.
Oh, yeah. And there can be some great night fishing there, too. And even in right in downtown Truckee, the lights, you know, from the city come on at night. And, you know, it can be a little sketchy. It's definitely an urban environment. A lot of people call that stretch of river Bum Alley. You know, there's a lot of vagrants and homeless people and stuff that hang around the river. And that can be intimidating to a lot of anglers. So just a, you know, kind of a concern to throw out there. But the fishing's great, so if you can you can deal with the trash and stuff, it's, you know, it's worth going down there.
Well, unfortunately, it's time to wrap things up. We've gone over a little bit because we got a little bit of a late start, but stick with me here, Mikey, because we're going to give away some stuff, including your DVD Soulfish 2 Fish Mode. So stay with me, and we'll be right back and be giving away that one-year subscription to Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to Fly Fusion Magazine. So hang tight, folks. We'll be right back. Family Ties, that's T-Y-E-S. Family Ties is an organization which uses a shared interest in fly fishing and fly tying to enhance youth development and family relationships. They utilize resources in schools, communities, businesses, and they invite your participation. Go to their website at www.familyties.com. That's family, T-Y-E-S.com. Family Ties, where every fish is a trophy and every kid is a hero. Just a quick reminder to everyone before you leave the website tonight, please take a minute and give us your feedback about the show. You can find a link on our homepage in the section on tonight's show that says, what did you think of this show? Just click on the link and leave your comments. We'd surely appreciate it. Now it's time to give away our prizes, and the winners for our drawings are randomly selected from our show's registration database. And if you didn't register for tonight's show, it's too late now, but make sure you do so for our next show, because we're always giving away some great prizes. So we're going to give away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers, and our winner there is, and by the way, the Federation website is fedflyfishers.org. If you're not familiar with this organization or not a member, you want to go there and find out more. They really contribute a lot to our great sport. Our winner for that is Warren Davis in Ohio. Warren Davis in Ohio gets a one-year membership to the Federation. Warren, if you already have a membership, we'll get you extended. So congratulations to you, Warren. And our next, we'll give away a one-year subscription to Fly Fusion magazine. And Fly Fusion is a magazine out of Calgary, Canada. You can find out more about it at www.flyfusionmag.com, flyfusionmag.com. And our winner of that one-year subscription is Lauren McDaniel in Colorado, Lauren McDaniel. So, Lauren, congratulations for winning that as well. And the two of you, Warren and Lauren, will be sending you emails on how to get your prizes. Well, now Mikey, we're going to give away that your latest DVD, Soulfish 2, Fish Mode. And this is kind of an adventure video, correct?
That's correct, yep. It's kind of like
you mentioned a little bit earlier and kind of gone through a lot of the places. You really kind of went around the world with that one.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old Endless Summer Surf movies, if anybody's a fan of Bruce Brown and his old Endless Summer Surf movies. It's kind of the endless summer of fly fishing.
Well, it sounds like a great video to sit back with a beer and enjoy, right? Well, let's see if we can give that away. And by the way, some guy named Ivan keeps bugging me online. Do you know an Ivan in Plymouth?
I do, yes.
Yeah, well, he's saying hello, and he's been bugging the hell out of me. So maybe he'll leave me alone now that I've said hello for him.
Yeah, I have an idea.
So anyway, I don't know
my
if he's friend.
That's where I grew up, so got some,
oh,
some,
I don't know
got
if
some
he's
local
friend
love.
Or, is he friend or foe?
Yeah, no, he's a friend. That's some,
oh, okay.
Some good,
that's okay.
Some good local
right.
love.
Okay. All right. So question is, we talked about two different fish. This is a two-part question. Two different fish, one that is in the Truckee River but not very common, and one that is not in the Truckee River system at all, okay? What were those two different kind of fish? And they weren't browns or rainbows. So tell me what those two fish are. And I'm talking trout, too, by the way, talking trout. So type in your answer, and we'll see if we get a winner here. So still waiting here, Mikey, for somebody. The first answer is Lahontan cutthroats and brookies. Not quite right, I don't think.
Close. Getting close.
Close. Got half of it, right? Let's see if we got somebody else in. Dean Wormell in Westford, Massachusetts says cutthroat and golden and no goldens.
That's correct, but
more specific?
You think you should be more specific on the strain of cutthroat? I don't know.
Let's see. Next one is cutthroat and bull trout. No, don't think that's it. Cutthroat and brookies. Brookie and native cut, no.
Well, I'd really like to see that Lahontan cutthroat, you know.
And you got it. The next one in was Ken Barr in Whitehall, Montana, says the Votan cutthroat and the golden trout. So did you say he's correct?
Ding, ding,
there?
Ding. We got a
ding,
winner.
Ding. Okay. So, Ken, you just won Mikey Weir's latest video, Soulfish 2, Fish Mode. And for those of you who didn't win, you can go to fisheyevideos.com and get it there if you're interested, plus a lot of other of Mikey's great videos. So, Ken, congratulations. Send in either through the same text box that you sent in your answer, send me your contact information so Mikey can send you out that DVD and name, address, and so forth, or send it to info@askaboutflyfishing.com, info@askaboutflyfishing.com. So that is it. Mikey, I really appreciate you being on the show with us tonight. It was a pleasure to talk with you, and really enjoyed learning about the Truckee River.
Oh, well, yeah, thank you very much. It's great to be back, and thanks a lot for having me.
Well, thank you. Our next broadcast will be on March 7th, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and on that show we'll interview Don Crane, and our topic for the show will be Floating Alaska, Self-Guided Fishing Expeditions. Don Crane has floated many western U.S. and Canadian rivers, but Alaska have always been at the top of his list. Are you short on casts? Self-guided fishing expeditions may be the way to go. Listen in to hear Don tell you everything you need to know about putting together a productive, inexpensive, and organized trip to Alaska. We'd like to thank the Federation of Fly Fishers, Fly Fusion Magazines, Outcast Boats, Royal Gorge Anglers, and Power Fibers Magazine for sponsoring our show tonight. If you think your company would benefit from sponsoring one of our shows, give us a call at 1-800-985-1673, extension 8. It's 1-800-985-1673, extension 8. We'll be happy to explain the options available to you. Don't forget to visit our website at askaboutflyfishing.com and make sure you're signed up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Thanks for listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We hope you enjoyed the show. That's it. Good night, everyone, and good fishing.